We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, does the word mother strike a responsive chord in your heart? Today my subject is mother and home. The thought of mother, it has been said, is one of the most cherished memories. Whether she is still living or has long gone from earthly scenes, all of us possess precious memories of motherhood. Either the mother that brought us into the world or one that became mother to us and loved and cared for us throughout maturity. Whether mother be near or far away, the very name mother stirs our hearts and sweetens our soul, especially if we have been fortunate enough to have a good mother. And many of us have had just such mothers, especially a Christian mother. How vastly important is precious motherhood. The origin of womanhood is revealed in Genesis 2:18-24. God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, even in Paradise of Eden. So he created and gave to man woman, that she might be a helpmeet for him. In verse 18 we read, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." In verse 20 of Genesis 3, after man and woman had sinned against God, it is recorded that Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Indeed, mother is the mother of all living in her rightful place. She is the crown jewel of the living. Out of her place, she may be a blackening mildew on society. Womanhood may be the mother of a noble and beautiful life, wrapping itself around the glorious destinies of men. Or she may be a rugged mold of warped character, causing heartaches and multiplied sorrows. In Ezekiel 16:44, the man of God declared, "As is the mother, so is her daughter." We might also add, "As is the woman, so is the world." Because of the power and influence of womanhood, manhood will not rise higher than womanhood or motherhood. Yet strange as it may seem, with the predominant influence of womanhood in the world, her place and authority is subject to the authority of man. God definitely gave the order of authority revealed in 1 Corinthians 11:3 when he said, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." It is evident, therefore, from this statement of inspiration, that God's order of authority is, God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. Friends, when this order is perverted, it is rebellion against God. God knew what was best for man in this world. When woman places herself in authority over man, she is entirely out of her place, just as much as if man should place himself in authority over Christ. The inspired Apostle Paul declared, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything." You read that in Ephesians 5:23-24. This does not mean, however, a one-sided, arbitrary, intolerant exercise of authority. The apostle unmistakably predicates such God-given authority upon the principle of love, as further stated and illustrated in verses 25, 28, and 29 of Ephesians 5. Much sentimentalism is associated with Mother's Day. Perhaps there is much lip service in the idolization of mothers. One might even wear a flower for her, yet never gave her one in her life. There is a fiction that the way to one's heart is to talk about his mother. Mother, home, and heaven are words that really mean something to Christians. Yes, we are sentimental about mothers. Who is not, unless he has never known a mother's love? But my friends, do we stop to realize that the mothers of our idolization are fast being forced out of existence? We may sing the same songs, preach the same sermons, buy the same kind of flowers, but are we doing what we can to make our homes the cradle of virtue and godliness? What are we doing to preserve the Christian home? The shedding of tears will not help much when it is too late. A woman is not necessarily an angel because she is a mother. A father is not necessarily a saint because he is a father. I say, are you listening? Are you glad that you can think of your mother and father as Christian parents with ideals of life worth living? Will your children think of you in years to come when they reflect upon their home life while they were with you as that of a Christian mother or Christian father? Think of the millions of boys and girls today who will never be able to think of their parents as Christian parents, who instilled into them the ideals of a Christian life. Beloved, home is the greatest school that any boy or girl may ever hope to attend. If, indeed, it is blessed with love, devotion, and tender care out of a mother who realizes her God-given place in this world. It is regrettable indeed that too many women today have as their ideals of life a career or a place of authority among men. The pitiful cry of thousands of homes today is, give us a mother, one who loves and one who cares, one who can train and fit boys and girls for a life of usefulness and service to God and to humanity. A godly mother may rule the lives of the living long after she has been gone. The prayers, the counsel, and the influence of Christian mothers have led many wayward sons and daughters back into the path of honor, usefulness, and righteousness. It is said that womanhood too often is descending from the high and lofty position that God intended for her to occupy. Too often she is dethroned, far from the maximum exalted position God honored her with. Much is said about the shortcomings of youth, but without question, parental laxity and broken homes are the roots of much of the evil. Many mothers of today are obsessed with the outside excitements of the world of pleasure and are actually leaving their children for commercial and career exploitations. Certainly, motherhood is not to be worshipped, but her life and character largely determine the destinies of men. Yes, my friends, a Christian home is not merely given by God, but in cooperation with God, children are brought into this world, and by great influence of womanhood are prepared for the world to come. Thank God for godly mothers and worthy fathers. America needs quite desperately the kind of mothers today that Timothy had in his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Timothy was a child of a mixed marriage. By that I mean his father was a Greek and his mother was a Hebrew. If his father ever accepted the true religion of Jehovah and of the Hebrew people, we have no record of it. It may well be that the only impressions of religious nature brought to bear upon youthful Timothy was that which was planted by his mother and his grandmother. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:5, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. We will have more men like Timothy when we have more women as mothers like Lois and Eunice. You know, a great compliment is paid to womanhood by Jesus, recorded in Mark 14:8, when he said, she hath done what she could. Here a woman had rendered a great service to the Lord, and he did not forget to compliment her for it. She hath done what she could. What a compliment for eternity. Our greatest need today is for fathers and mothers to give their best to God, to the home, to the Lord's church, to the country, and to our community. Today, there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of parents who are giving nothing to their homes with regard to Christianity. Many mothers and fathers are neglecting their greatest God-given heritage and responsibility, that is, giving what they can of the true principles of Christianity to boys and girls of their homes, that is, Christian ideals, faith, honor, integrity, loyalty, and reverence. Beloved, don't you know that good mothers make saints and heroes? No human affection is comparable to a mother's love. She is awake while others are asleep. Mother forgives when others hate, She does without that others may have. She will risk her own life to save the lives of her children. Great men have acknowledged the incomparable wealth bestowed upon them by their mothers. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am, I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Surely, my friends, the love of the mother of Jesus, expressed by her presence at the foot of the cross, was a comfort and help to our Lord in his tragic ordeal of death. A cherished word on the lips of the Son of God in his dying moments was, "Mother." That is no word sweeter concerning human relations than mother. There is no human power among men greater than womanhood. No doubt, the mother of Jesus cherished his last words the rest of her life. Yes, my friends, it must be true. Godly mothers are homemakers, character builders, and life preservers. The wealth of our nation is measured largely by the wealth of motherhood and womanhood. May God give us women of virtue and godliness, that they may be praised and honored among all men of earth. Truly the price of such a woman is far above rubies, as expressed by the wise man of God in Proverbs chapter 31. Listen, I speak to you about a young mother. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. "Is the way long?" she asked. And her guide said, "Yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But the end will be better than the beginning." But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers with them along the way, and bathed with them in the clear streams, and the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, "Nothing will ever be lovelier than this." Then night came, and storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew near to them and covered them with a mantle, and the children said, "O mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come." And the mother said, "This is better than the brightness of the day, for I have taught my children courage." And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary. But at all times she said to the children, "A little patience, and we are there." So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, "We could not have done it without you, mother." And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, "This is a better day than the last. For my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I gave them strength." On the next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, "Look up. Lift your eyes to the light." And the children looked and saw above the clouds the everlasting glory. And it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, "This is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God." And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was hard, they helped their mother. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill. And beyond the hill they could see a shining road and a golden gate flung wide. And the mother said, "I have reached the end of my journey. And now I know that the end is better than the beginning. For my children can walk alone, and their children after them." And the children said, "You will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates." And they stood and they watched her as she went alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is with us still." A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence.